This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Perpetually standing in the breach and always ready to stay in the fight. Coming to you from an undisclosed broadcast location. Presented by AR-500 Armor. The Armored Republic cometh. This is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
Hour number two. Coming to you live from the AR-500 Armor Radio Studio, this is Lock and Load. Now, if you're just tuning in, I'm having a little bit of issue with dehydration. And last night, I couldn't even finish the show. Now, I've taken steps to try to finish the show tonight, but that means I'm going to sound like junk. But you can handle me sounding like junk. I'll just keep on going, shall I? Yeah. I have a little thought experiment for anybody out there that might be on the left that might consider themselves to be my friend. You might. I don't know how that would work, but I want to ask you this. What if the Parkland students and the hundreds of thousands of other fired up adolescents who gathered around the nation last weekend, what if they were not on your team? What if, rather than advocating in favor of something that you passionately agree with, they were advocating in favor of something you passionately disagree with? Say, for example, their voices were raised not for the purpose of restricting access to guns, but for the purpose of restricting access to abortion. Now, I don't want to become enmeshed in a discussion as to the relative similarities or dissimilarities of those two things. And nor is it to disavow the concern and sympathy to which these young people are legitimately entitled based upon the horrendous experience they survived or were in proximity to, which I think is probably a good portion of them. It's simply to encourage an awareness of the extent to which our perception, our reaction, and even the valuation in this case of a group of particularly vocal, colorful, and engaging teenagers can be influenced by, even guaranteed by, the way we feel about the issue being advocated rather than the inherent and observable characteristics of the individuals doing the advocating. So, for example, instead of seeing a 16-year-old on a podium in front of an enthusiastic throng thundering that any politician who receives a dollar from the NRA has blood on his hands, it would be any politician who receives a dollar from Planned Parenthood had blood on his hands. Or, during the CNN town hall ambush of Marco Rubio and Dana Lash, suppose it were instead Chuck Schumer, 100% rated from Planned Parenthood, and Cecile Richards, who during her tenure as president of Planned Parenthood presided over millions of abortions. Suppose teenager Cameron Caskey, instead of walking up to Senator Marco Rubio, getting in his face and saying, as he did, "Senator Rubio, it's hard to look at you and not look down the barrel of an AR-15 and not look at Nicholas Cruz." What if he said to Senator Chuck Schumer, "Senator Schumer, it's hard to look at you and not see an aborted fetus and body parts being sold on the open market." Suppose it was Richards who was the target of shouts of "murderer, burn her," and, you know, other bad words, instead of Dana Lash. If you watch the tapes of the speeches of these and the on-camera interviews of these impassioned kids and make a good faith effort to imagine if that self-same passion were directed in favor of something you find reprehensible, even morally repellent, instead of something your own view of the world that, you know, the world allows that you cheerlead, how would they appear to you then? They would tell you that they have absolute moral authority because they are the abortion generation, marinated for their entire lives in the well-funded, taxpayer-well-funded, pro-death culture flowing like a river through all aspects of society, their society, and that therefore what they have to say cannot be challenged or questioned. They're the ones being traumatized by it. They're the ones being sacrificed to a culture of life termination in the service of convenience. If confronted with the notion of reproductive rights, they would scoff and pronounce it irrelevant. There is no complexity. There is no other side. There's only the fact of 1 million babies being aborted per year, and that should be sufficient information for anyone and everyone to agree with them. They would claim that they had had enough, and they were going to do something about it because the adults clearly couldn't or wouldn't. No more. No more killing babies. Enough is enough. The only possible reason anyone could disagree with them is because he or she is greedy, incapable of empathy, and in the pocket bought and sold by somebody. And they are taking over the issue, and that's that. Get out of the way and shut up. How would you feel, leftists, watching that? Now, here's what you would be thinking but not saying, because you can't say it. It's not allowed. You would be saying to yourself, who on earth do these kids think they are? How do you produce young people this arrogant, this condescending, this heedlessly insulting, this overamped by the spotlight, and the power that has been thrust upon them by those eager to use them to push their agenda? Grown-ups and parents who should know better can, without hesitation, choose to exploit a bright, hurting young high school woman as full of life and brimming with passion as you would hope any such young person to be, thrust her to the microphones, and applaud while she demonizes in the most inflammatory, unfair terms imaginable anyone who disagrees with her heartfelt but simplistic analysis, without a single adult at least whispering in her ear that there's a place for displaying respect for the office of a senator, a congressman, a president, or an adult, however much you might disagree with him or believe yourself to be in possession of a particular wisdom, one that you feel is oddly inaccessible to those with greater years and greater experience and greater exposure to the world of ideas and nuance and conflict. Watching those young people, you would be asking yourself, what must their parents be like? Where are they in this, and what role are they playing? Why must the teachers be teaching? What must they be teaching, and what are they leaving out? But those on the left are not going to engage in this thought experiment because the exploitation of these wide-eyed, predictably passionate, predictably naive, and predictably full of themselves young people is just too delicious. Too effective, too useful. This, you know, that it is tawdry and exploitative and shameful, as nobody cares. That's all outweighed by the import they perceive the ascendancy of their views to have. Without any doubt as to the rectitude of their worldview, convinced of the wickedness of any opposition, the end is justified. Even if you place children at the point of their phalanx, something that in a different world and perhaps in a better world would be understood as an act of cowardice. But what about them, these decent but frightfully credulous young people, that they don't yet know what they don't know is to be expected? It goes with the territory. We've all been there. But perhaps as they begin to contemplate the trajectory of the road they've been sent down, they could add to their already overflowing reservoir of wisdom by Googling the words Cindy Shaheen. She, too, was a darling of the left for a time, said by them to have absolute moral authority based upon the loss of her son Casey in Iraq. The same immunization from criticism bestowed upon the Parkland students. She was used as a cudgel by the left against the policies and, even more importantly, the morality of the Bush administration. She led rallies and marched and spoke and even camped out at the Bush compound in Texas. Every second of it was covered with relish and gusto and fanfare. Then she made a misstep. She said something that was counter to the agenda, contrary to the approved narrative. She implicated Hillary Clinton, essentially putting her in the same basket of culpability as George Bush. The result of that was that she disappeared from the media instantly and forever, except for a short time as the target of a ferocious campaign of delegitimization by a media that loved her so much just a short time prior. Someone should say to these young people, you're being used. And if that's okay with you, fine. But you know that's what it is. And you know that sometime down the road it's going to end and you're going to be discarded. And at that point, at least some of you will look back down at your behavior during this period and be embarrassed or maybe even horrified. But hopefully you will look at your younger selves with a compassion and understanding, because it is not your fault. You are young, so follow people who know better but don't care. If you're very lucky and very diligent in time, you will come to understand why that is and why you're being used and how that happens. You might even become as smart and wise as you think you are right this minute. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
TWS Arms is the evolution of the AR-15. Veteran-owned and operated, this is the 21st century rendition of Eugene Stoner's creation, crafted for the front line, but designed for the aficionado. DTWS Arms is 100% made in the USA, built by rough men who have become craftsmen. Upgraded billet technology designed as lethal art, with reliability and beauty at the forefront. To order, go to our new website at DTWSArms.com.
DTWS Arms, this is the nature of the beast.
Today, weapons and optics are built tough, but they have to remain dialed in. Enter Air Armor Tech. Created to protect the $500,000 helmet of the F-35 Lightning II aircraft, Air Armor Tech can likewise protect your weapons during transport. Under pressure, air is uncompromising, rigid or collapsible using the power of inflation or deflation, high-tech and elemental. To learn more, go to airarmortech.com. Air Armor Tech. Protective. Lightweight. These are military-grade inflatable cases.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hey, this is Ricky from Banyan Hill. You like freedom? I do. You like money? I do too. If you like freedom and money, then you're going to love Freedom Checks. You see, over the next few months, an estimated $34.6 billion is up for grabs to anyone who stakes their claim. Yep, you heard that right. $34.6 billion. To get all the details, just go to www.AmericanFreedomChecks.com. Thousands of people are already lined up to cash in. Take Doug, for example. He's a 46-year-old from Joplin, Missouri, who's set to get a check for $24,075. And if Doug can do this, I've got a hunch that you can, too. But here's the thing. If you want the chance to grab your full fair share of this $34.6 billion payout, you must have your ducks in a row by May 1st. So don't wait. Get over to www.AmericanFreedomChecks.com before May 1st. That's www.AmericanFreedomChecks.com.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Coming to you live from the AR-500 Armor Radio Studio, this is Lock and Load. I just figured out, I think there's pollen in the air, too. Good God, can I not just have one day of peace? Sorry. Many people that would consider themselves to be a conservative pundit were agitated by the March for Their Lives and the lack of civility last weekend. And Parkland shooting survivor David Hogg's speech particularly outraged him. He began his speech by placing a $1.05 price tag on the podium, declaring that's how much Florida Senator Marco Rubio took for every student who died during the February mass shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School. He essentially argued that Rubio makes money off dead children. He then went on to issue a call for revolution against NRA-backed politicians and ended his speech with a strange clenched fist salute. Conservative commentators, particularly critics of Trump, were aghast at this. Jonah Goldberg declared it as grotesque demagoguery. National Review's David French wondered whether the adult activists think this kind of rhetoric is a good idea. The genteels, if you will. Rubio himself responded by pleading for compromise, an idea the gun control activists scoff at. Really shouldn't be a shock this uncivil rhetoric dominated the March for Their Lives rally. The Parkland gun control advocates have repeatedly made similar assertions ever since they emerged in the public eye. Hogg previously made an ad calling Republican politicians the blank of the NRA, for example, and it rhymes with rich. So it's not like the civil debate referee is going to jump in and throw a flag at these kids. This is the rhetoric they've embraced and that their supporters relish. Why be civil when you think the NRA is a for-profit terror group and the GOP wants some more dead kids? Huge sign displayed on Capitol Hill last week encapsulated this left-wing hostility. If you value guns more than lives, don't defer on politics. We defer in morality, students from Oregon. Many conservative pundits see the debate as a difference in politics, not morality. The left thinks otherwise. And, you know, listen, the whole thing, I can get out there, like if I'm a boxer and I throw a jab at somebody, he can be sitting there saying, that's not a jab. That's him wanting to see what we're going to do. Think that all you like, pal. If your hands go down and I hit you in the face, it's a good jab. All right? So getting out there and trying and interpreting, saying, well, that's not what that is, and that's not. No, you guys don't get to decide that. The one initiating the hostility is going to be the one deciding that. So the left thinks otherwise, and they have no use for civil debate. Supporting gun rights makes you a bad person. You get only contempt, and appealing to the old rules of political decor isn't going to sway any progressives. Jonah Goldberg and David French be damned. Too often the American right makes civility a holy virtue to their own disadvantage. Our opposition doesn't respect the position, okay? And they have no use for it. Conservatives flail their arms about the lack of civility while the left further advances in its agenda. Now, a good example of conservative delusion with civility occurred in the wake of a Republican congressman coming under fire from a left-wing gunman last summer. While politics clearly motivated the gunman and the histrionic media narratives later likely influenced him, the GOP insisted the attack just showed America needed to be more civil. Democrats disingenuously agreed, all while making sure to place the blame for America's toxic discourse on Trump and the Republicans. But as soon as the shooting faded from news coverage, Democrats went straight back to claiming the GOP wanted to murder millions of Americans with its health care plan. Even though House Majority Whip Steve Scalise nearly died from the shooting, no Democrat or journalist was convinced to tone down their rhetoric. Do you really think the Parkland kids will do just that because a few Republicans are going to get upset about the way they're talking to them? Appealing to civility only works in a society where both sides respect each other and where they share a similar value set. This is not the case for contemporary America today. Leftists in particular see their positions as not only right politically, but morally as well. And you can't have a civil debate when your opponents are evil. That would be me and you, by the way. We're the opponents. It's why the gun debate is degenerated into vicious accusations and full-blown hysteria. Disagreeing with gun control means you want dead kids, so there's no point in being nice to you. That's the point. That's the position. Conservatives who insist on civility may think they're taking the moral high ground, but all they're doing is making themselves look weak. and completely out of touch. Their enemies are not going to respect them for wanting civil discourse. There is a silver lining to the extreme rhetoric of gun control advocates. Last weekend's rally sent a clear message to gun owners that gun control advocates aren't about common sense reform. They want confiscation. As one speaker admitted, when they give us that inch, that bump stock ban, we will take a mile. And Republicans, you had better take note of that strategy. There may have been a window of opportunity for the country to come together and implement gun restrictions in the wake of the Parkland school shooting, but the polarization of our political discourse doomed those chances right at the start. They wouldn't; those chances would have done nothing. It, you know, looking at it, saying, "Well, we had the chance for what? What do we have the chance for?" When the one Republican senator who is willing to reach out to the other side becomes the primary target for gun control advocates, conservatives should rethink prioritizing civility above all else. The left doesn't see their opponents as fellow Americans with legitimate disagreements. We're not American. We're not human. We are their foe. We are their enemy. And they only see their enemy as amoral reactionaries who have to be crushed. There's some people that are taking this in right now, and they're saying to themselves, I can't believe it really turned out this way. It has always been this way. It has always been this way. And here's the problem with this. And I sort of hesitate to go this far, but whatever. When somebody looks at you this way, this is a very big tell on their part. If they look at you and see an enemy instead of somebody they're having a politically philosophical disagreement with, right? That's a big tell. That tells me that if they had a chance to do it, if they could get away with it, hurting us, banishing us, silencing us, putting us in jail, killing us, that doesn't mean a whole lot to them. As long as they get their way. Because of the way they see us as less than human. So we can sit back and try to, we've got to take the moral high ground, Bill. You take that. I intend to win. I'm not interested in being polite. I'm not interested in trying to, appease these children or something. They have stuck themselves out there, all of you. All of you on the anti-gun side, all of you. You are all fair game. You're going to keep pushing, and it's going to become readily apparent to you. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
The Roman legions, the samurai, and the knights of the round table, they understood body armor has long been a necessary tool. Today, AR-500 armor sets the standard for steel core body armor. Reimagining ballistic steel, AR-500 armor employs a fragmentation and spalling coating to mitigate damage, giving you that second chance to stay in the fight. AR-500 armor is the leading high-value solution for body armor. AR500armor.com. Join the Armored Republic and stay in the fight.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, $1,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Remembering when to change your fridge filter is a hassle. Remembering the right filter is almost impossible. So at Filters Fast, we have some good advice. Forget it. Instead, remember this. Text BEST 33 to 443-443 and check fridge filters off your to-do list forever. Get it all taken care of for a fraction of big box store prices with a Filters Fast brand filter. To see how much you can save, plus get free shipping, text BEST 33 to 443-443. With a huge range of brand name filters available, Filters Fast is America's number one online filtration company. And you can get a Filters Fast brand filter for a fraction of the price, delivered to your door every time you need it. No need to remember. It's not a matter of if you need a fridge filter. Why not text to get it taken care of? To see how much you can save and get free shipping, text BEST 33 to 443-443. That's BEST 33 to 443-443.
Live from the AR 500 Armor Radio Studio, this is Lock and Load. Now, this is the week where we saw a retired Supreme Court justice write an op-ed in the New York Times that advocated a position that most leftist pundits and activists have been incrementally working toward for a long time, repealing the Second Amendment. They didn't want anybody to come out and give that away. That was not really part of the, you know, that's not what they wanted to do. And while many leftist columnists argued that Stevens had only given fodder to gun advocates because his position is unfeasible, undoable, and completely logistically impossible to do right now, not one of those who wrote a piece that I read argued that Stevens was wrong on the merit. No one claimed that American citizens do, in fact, have an inherent individual right to protect themselves with firearms. Whether repeal of the Second Amendment is feasible or not, historical revisionism is meant to mangle its meaning into irrelevancy. Stevens claims that his conception of gun rights is uniformly understood, yet offers no legal precedent to back up the contention. He claims that the Second Amendment's explicit mention of the right of the people does not create an individual right, despite the inconvenient fact that other times the term is mentioned in the Fourth, Ninth, and Tenth Amendment, the amendments have been found to protect the individual rights of the people. Now, I'm not a legal scholar, but the idea, as the former justice argues, that the founders wanted no limits on the ability of the federal or even a state government to take weapons from law-abiding citizens completely conflicts with historical record. Never once in the founding debate did a lawmaker rise to the argue that gun ownership should be limited. Most state constitutions at the time already featured language to protect that right. A number of states demanded that the national constitution include such a provision. The debate over the Second Amendment centered on a dispute over who should control the militia, the federal or the state government. Everyone understood that a militia consisted of free individuals who would almost always grab their own firearms, so just regular minutemen, if you will, the ones they use in their everyday existence to engage in concerted efforts to protect themselves, their community, or their country, sometimes from their own government. This might surprise some, but the Minutemen did not return their muskets after Lexington. That's because they brought them. They were their property. They were issued no guns. In the writings and speeches of the American founders, the threat of disarmament was always a casus belli, which makes sense for practical and ideological reasons. None of the natural rights codified in the Constitution, none, not freedom of speech, press, or religion, or the ability to vote or demand due process, had longer or deeper history in English common law and tradition than the right to defend yourself. Guns were so prevalent, in fact, that some framers noted that a tyrant would never take the nation because the general public outarmed the state, which is still sort of the case today. Noah Webster reasoned, the supreme power in America cannot enforce unjust laws by the sword because the whole body of the people are armed and constitute a force superior to any bands of regular troops. His only mistake was trusting that the whole body of the people would always uphold the Constitution in the United States. During the 19th century, not a single case challenged the notion that the Second Amendment is anything but an individual right during the entire century. And it was so self-evident that when it was brought, it was merely a way to juxtapose American liberty with tyranny elsewhere. In 1823, Charles Sumner, one of the leading thinkers of the American Enlightenment, noted that if the population of the United States were like that of Europe, chiefly consisted of an unarmed peasantry, it would be conquerable. Here, he went on, every house is a castle and every man is a soldier. John Adams, who argued that self-defense was the primary canon of the law of nature when defending British soldiers after the Boston Massacre, concurred that an armed citizenry would not be susceptible to despotism. Excuse me. Let me get that cleared out of the way. When Jacob Howard, the Michigan senator who helped introduce the 14th Amendment to attempt to ensure that blacks in the South had protected constitutional rights, he specifically noted the right to bear arms as a right to ensure. The right to self-defense surely terrified the racists of the South more than any other. The collective theory is a modern invention. Even the photo of a musket and an AR-15 juxtaposed above Stevens' column to illustrate the antiquedness of gun rights in the modern age and misjudges history. Just as the First Amendment protects modern communication, just as the Fourth Amendment applies to modern forms of search, the Second Amendment extends to guns that were not in existence at the time of the founding, which is the majority of them. Well, it's all of them today. Unlike contemporary liberal columnists who'd like to revise the Constitution, the founders were very aware that the fleeting emotions of the population could corrode rights. And if you think the Second Amendment is an antique, that's fine. Repeal it. The history of the Second Amendment, though, doesn't change to comport with your contemporary position. Never. Never does it. Never, ever. Never, ever, 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 ever. Now, just to show you how much fun it's going to be when they try to push gun control to stop some of these mass murder attacks. Do you understand that the majority of these guys that do this, they have a mental issue? And I know everyone who didn't think that banning so-called assault weapons and other nonsense gun policy was a good idea. That's who, you know, anyway. In the new study, this is coming from the Secret Service. They found that 64% of the assailants suffered from mental problems. They have analyzed 28 attacks that killed a total of 150 people from the Orlando Pulse nightclub shooting to the Las Vegas shooting in 2017. An examination of 28 attacks, which claimed nearly 150 lives and wounded hundreds of others from Orlando to Las Vegas, also found that more than three-quarters of the assailants engaged in suspicious communications or conduct that raised concerns from others in advance of the assault, according to the report due for release yesterday. The analysis prepared by the Secret Service's National Threat Assessment Center had been underway months before the February 14th massacre at Parkland, but its findings are likely to further fuel concerns about the untreated mentally ill and their access to high-powered firearms. The Parkland case, which has reinvigorated a national debate on gun safety, social workers, mental health counselors, school administrators, and law enforcement were all warned about Cruz's deteriorating mental state and risk of violence before he launched his attack that left 17 dead. The new Secret Service review builds on a lengthy prior examination issued by the agency in 2015, which found that more than half of suspects involved in 43 attacks targeting government facilities or federal officials between 2001 and 2013 suffered symptoms of mental illness, including paranoia, delusions, and suicidal thoughts. In the new report, authorities found that 64% of suspects suffered from symptoms of mental illness, and in 25% of the cases, attackers had been hospitalized or prescribed psychiatric medications prior to the assaults. Okay, so we're talking about these mass rampage killers, right, USA Today? That's what we got. That's where this all got came out. The three main attacks you cite in this piece are Orlando, Parkland, Sutherland Springs, and the assassination attempt on the House Majority Whip Steve Scalise. And this shows that mental illness should be part of the discussion, not repealing the Second Amendment, as we've seen in the wake of the Parkland shooting. Those afflicted with certain mental issues, like paranoid schizophrenia, shouldn't be near guns. The reporting of such illness should be improved. Both the pro-Constitution and gun-grabber camps should agree on that one. And it seems pretty clear that blaming men and toxic masculinity isn't the real reason why these attacks happen. But you already know that too, don't you? But let's not forget that what some of the left think that this is total garbage theory is the actual reason. So maybe we could look at mental health and reform that a little bit. Maybe we could look at that and reform that a little bit. Even Mother Jones suggested that after Sandy Hook. I happen to agree with that. We should look at mental health, and we should look at improving that treatment. There are a lot of psychiatrists out there today that would tell you that with some intense psychiatry, they could save every one of every one of these people are redeemable. And instead of allowing that, we don't have anything in place to take care of that. Not only do they become irredeemable, they kill a lot of people on the way. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
See why our homegrown small business at sunny-bay.com has tried to help people just like you. Get your Sunny Bay heating pads at sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com or call 253-678-1361. For hot and cold therapy, sunny-bay.com.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
Face it, today's electric power grid is more vulnerable than ever. From natural disasters to EMP attacks and hacking, the grid could be crippled for days or even decades in the most dire scenarios. Visit quantumharvest.net to see our built-to-last EMP-protected solar power systems. While millions suffer, you'll have vital power for water pumps, refrigeration, and sanitation. Now that's peace of mind. EMP-protected solar power systems for every need and budget. See our full range at quantumharvest.net.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It just was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm on to something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Bad theater seats, cheap Halloween masks, my apartment, all things with obstructed views. Add to these large trucks and buses. 18-wheelers and large buses have big blind spots and, like my apartment, they don't always have the best view. Bus and truck drivers deal with blind spots around the entire vehicle. Always take care not to ride alongside or too close behind them. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
From the AR 500 Armor Radio Studio, this is Lock and Load. Now, I have seen some information coming from the ATF regarding bump fire stocks, bump stocks, whatever you want to call them. They published a notice yesterday saying that they're going to take public comment on the proposed bump stock ban. So here's what you need to know. The proposed rule change, should they decide to pass the bump stock ban, one major change that would take place, the term machine gun would be altered in the National Firearms Act of 1934 and the Gun Control Act of 1968. The current definition is the term machine gun means any weapon which shoots is designed to shoot or can be readily restored to shoot automatically more than one shot without manually loading by a single function of the trigger. The term shall also include the frame or receiver of any such weapon, any part designed and intended solely and exclusively, or a combination of parts designed and intended for use in converting a weapon into a machine gun, and any combination of parts from which a machine gun can be assembled if such parts are in the possession or under the control of a person. The new definition would be expanded to include the term machine gun includes bump stock type devices, devices that allow a semi-automatic fire to shoot more than one shot with a single pull of the trigger. By harnessing the recoil energy of the semi-automatic firearm to which it is affixed so that the trigger resets and continues firing without additional physical manipulation of the trigger by the shooter. That is that's wide open. According to their summary, bump stock style devices weren't included in the GCA because they weren't around when the gun control law was implemented. In the notice of proposed rulemaking, if it goes through, these devices would fall under the same regulations as machine guns. Consequently, current possessors of these devices would be required to surrender them, destroy them, or otherwise render them permanently inoperable upon the effective date of the final rule, the summary states. Now, the reason for that is because of the Hughes Amendment. The Hughes Amendment says nothing can be made prior to a certain date in 1986. So you'd have to have a bump stock that was made in 1985. And if you don't have that, then guess what? You can't have it. Who will be affected by this? DOG says that manufacturers, retailers, and gun owners will be negatively affected by the proposed rule. Their table breaks down who would be impacted, as well as the costs associated with implementing the proposed rule. Affected populations, costs, and benefits. Category applicability, manufacturers of bump stocks, retail sellers of bump stocks, owners of bump stocks. Affected population, two manufacturers of bump stock devices. There's only two of them right now. 2,281 retailers of bump stock type devices. Nobody knows how many are owned. Total quantified cost to industry, public, and government, 77% discount rate. $217 million present value over 10 years, $36.3 million annualized. Unquantified cost, the cost of destruction, the cost of advertising to inform owners of the need to dispose of their bump stock type devices, lost consumer surplus of users of bump stock type devices. unquantified benefits, prevents criminal usage of bump stock type devices, could reduce casualties in an incident that would have involved a weapon fitted with a bump stock type device, as well as assist first responders when responding to incidents. How that actually happens because the bump stock isn't there, no idea. Now, the numbers that they have come up with for this proposal are based on estimates because there are no records of those who have purchased bump stocks. Estimates are based on manufacturer reports. Now, what is the associated cost? The ATF believes it would cost just shy of $1.8 million in 2018 to destroy all existing bump stocks. The cost includes the following components. There are three primary sources of cost from this rule. First, for owners of bump stock type devices, there will be a lost value from no longer being able to possess or use the devices. Second, there will be a lost value to manufacturers who would have manufactured and sold the devices in the future and to gun owners who would have purchased them. Finally, there will be a disposal cost associated with the need to destroy the devices to render them inactive. The ATF estimates it will cost $297.2 million over the next 10 years to implement the rule. Should it become law? Which, I'm going to tell you something, Republicans, Democrats, all of you. You guys, you don't have a reproductive system. I'm not going to say the part that you don't have. You know what I'm saying. Some of these people, I know. Trey Gowdy, I know. Trey Gowdy. I know Trey Gowdy. Trey Gowdy says this turns a gun into a fully automatic. Representative Gowdy, former prosecutor Gowdy, you are wrong. You are wrong. Taking a gun and saying it changes it to a machine gun means something mechanical has occurred. Getting out there and having a device that mimics, and it doesn't even mimic, it's just you using inertia to make your finger hit the trigger harder, faster. The reason this exists in the first place is because of the Hughes Amendment. And the reason they can take them all away in a blanket association here is because of the Hughes Amendment. And I would personally expect somebody as learned as Trey Gowdy to be able to tell the difference between something that makes you fire it doesn't make you fire fully automatic, it makes you fire with an enhanced semi-automatic speed. And I would expect you to know the difference between that and fully automatic. However, if you'd like to come to the range with me and some of my friends, we'll show you things that we don't require bump stocks, buddy. And then, what are you going to say then? I mean, are we going to say that semi-automatics just fire too fast? Because these are not revelations. This is not something that is new out there in the world at large. But we'll see where this goes. Now, like I said earlier, 10 times before, the ATF has looked at these. 10 times before. And since they now get to the reason the ATF looked at these is by the letter of the law, they had to look at these as what they are, which is an accessory. It's still an accessory. Period. I mean, accessories on weapons enhance your ability to shoot them. A flashlight is an accessory because you can see in the dark. An optic is an accessory because you can see your target singularly. And in some cases, you can see them in a telescopic fashion, closer than they really are. And then we start getting into some things that are a little more ergonomic. And then we get into things like the bump sock, which is, you know, without a doubt, there is no, and really, truly, the bump stock, for all of you that have this thing about wanting to shoot a weapon automatically, I get it, but you haven't lived till you either get up under a M60 or, if you can, an M2. Because when you're under a 50 cal and you're pulling, well, you're not pulling, you're actually pushing down on something we refer to as the butterfly. When you're on the butterfly trigger and you're pushing it down and that thing is going off and you see a flame in front of you that's 4 feet wide, and you can't see how long it is in front of you because, well, you're behind it. But when you feel that thud, that rapid, boop, 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 you are living. Then, if you are a shooter, this is living. Getting out there with anything else, if it is small enough to where I can hang on to it, what's the thrill of that? Thing about the M60 was the M60, I could run around and pull the trigger on that thing. But at the same time, it was so much better if I took the time to get into the prone. If I would throw out the bipod and just get into the prone and start pulling that trigger. Now, during night fire, I would pull the trigger on that thing till I would make the barrel glow so much I could read by it in the dark. I was trying really hard just to make it warp. Because none of the gunners in my unit could get their M60s to go offline like that. So we would, you could cook bacon on the things, but we could never make the barrels warp. We would get them so hot they would be a runaway where you'd have to break the belt. We couldn't make the barrel warp. Such is the folly of youth. That's live. If you're going to fire something fully automatic, there you go. I get that. The M16, M4, the reason fully automatic is not fun on that is because you can't control it. It's just not heavy enough. It's just jumping around. The thing that makes it easy to carry, like it's lightweight, makes it hard to control. Coming up next, I'm going to introduce you to a product called Arachnogrip with the originator, Bob Biedenbach. That's the way we're going to open the hour. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. We give away thousands of dollars in guns and gear at gunwinner.com. Catering to the shooter, hunter, prepper, or collector. All giveaways are free to enter courtesy of the contest sponsors. You can win guns from companies like Nighthawk Customs, Springfield, and many more. Every month, the giveaways, the contests, everything begins again. So go to gunwinner.com and enter to win. For all of your gun deals and giveaways, gunwinner.com.
Now you know. I will meet you there.
Offering the largest selection of night armament guns and parts in the world, OperationParts.com carries both the latest and the hardest to find components for your weapon. With name brands like Noveski, Aimpoint, and Nighthawk, OperationParts.com is well on with the most discerning firearms connoisseur. With free shipping available on most orders, these are experienced AR-15 enthusiasts that test each part and component to ensure customer satisfaction. OperationParts.com. Make yours operational.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, June 1st through the 4th for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, an epic weekend of exploration into ancient aliens, human origins, crop circles, and UFO sightings. More than 100 lectures, panels, workshops, and events with leading experts Giorgio Tsoukalos, David Wilcock, Linda Moulton-Howe, Eric Von Doniken, Corey Good, Doc Wallach, and more. Get tickets at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.